Alex Mitchell, Gary Stengart, Absurdistan, pages 287 through 289. A little girl ran up to us and clutched at the woman's leg. She was of that age when all children get to look sleek and confident, a tan summertime face and a bun of straw hair held back by a bonnet, and yet there was something mousy and unkind in her smile. I noticed that her feet were dirty and unshod. "Where are your sandals, dear?" I murmured. "There's broken glass everywhere." The woman started whispering violently into the girl's ear. "Talk nicely," she said. "Talk intelligently to the good man. Don't be a stupid little one. Don't make things up." The girl turned away from me and shook her head. She buried her face in her elbow and made some indecent noises. "What a cute one," I said. "What's the matter? You don't want to talk to your fat uncle?" "Well, don't be scared. The war will be over soon, and then we'll all go home and play with our kittens." The woman gave the child a nasty bump forward with her knee. "Yulia, talk to the nice man," she commanded. "Children are difficult," she said to me, "but at least you can teach them things. She's my youngest, 5 years old. She's a bit slow. My two sons now, they're a real treasure. One has a bronze medal in school, and the other is clever like an oligarch." "I know a fairy tale," the girl said in her syrupy little girl's voice. "It's about a fishy that gets caught in the sea, and then the fisherman plucks the fishy's eyes out so she can't swim back, and then he cuts her stomach open to take out the caviar." The mother reached down and swatted the girl's tender neck. "That's a stupid story," the mother said. The girl did not cry out. She merely touched her neck and whispered, "Didn't hurt at all." "Listen," the mother said, "you're a nice man. Too nice to be talking to us, or to such a stupid girl with her ugly stories. My boys are starving. If you give me $50, we can go beneath the docks, all three of us. I know a little space where no one can see us. You can do whatever you want." "What?" I said. My body floated up, like a balloon, like a walloon or what have you. I was gone from this place. I was in New York, with Nana, on a park bench. The sun was setting. A day of commerce was at an end. I could smell Frankfurters and homeless men. I could smell myself on Nana's smooth brown hand. "What?" the woman repeated, as if mocking me. "What are you saying?" I said. "Just that if you wanted to," the woman said evenly, "if you had the money, we could go beneath the docks. All of us, or just you and Yulia. It would take $50 and we wouldn't ask any questions." I swung at her. I had no plan of attack, but almost immediately my fist found its way inside her mouth and was working to dislodge those hideous golden incisors. To no avail. She bit down on me, but there was no blood. Neither of us screamed. I breathed out the word bitch, but heard only its stinging falsity. I raised my other hand, trembling, into the air, as if I were an A student trying to draw the teacher's attention. I formed a second fist and brought it down on the woman's head, co-opting all the weight at my disposal. The woman crumpled. She just lay there on the broken, glass-strewn concrete, shaking feverishly and trying to mouth a single word, which may have been police. As if there were any police left. My ankle throbbed. Yulia, the little girl, was biting me, digging her nails into my flesh. At first, I didn't shake her off. I stood there and let the pain accumulate, willing it to shock me into action, into a new state of resolve. But the little girl couldn't do it. She had neither the strength nor the sharp teeth to change me, to make me see differently. I turned around and started to walk away, loosening her grip on me with each hard-won step, dragging her silently across the concrete and broken glass. "Papa," I heard her cry after she had finally fallen off my ankle. I didn't look back. I wanted to go back to my bed in the Hyatt. I wanted to take a long bath in the Roman tub. I wanted my allergy-free pillow and a mindful note from Larry Zartarian by my bedside. The farther I walked away from the pier, the more I hated the little girl. A part of me, a hideous part to be sure, wished I had punched her instead of her mother. Wished I had killed her. A brick to that mousy smile, to all our mousy smiles. Let us all die, I thought. Let this planet be free of us. And then, 100 years later, let the resurgent earth sprout wispy dandelions and delicate hamsters and five-star hotels. Nothing will ever come of the human race. Nothing will ever come of this land. I was walking, or so it seemed, toward the International Terrace, toward the 718 perfume store, and toward the Hyatt. But those three things existed only in a very abstract sense. I was walking towards the ideal of the Hyatt, towards the memory of a 718 perfume store, toward the faint outcropping of the burnt-out International Terrace. What I was really doing was walking away from the girl whose screams for Papa followed me down a road stained with the blood of others.